On the October 2nd edition of WINA's Best Seat in the House, Jet and Joey talked about what they learned watching Virginia's 37-0 win over Duke. They also took listener calls to see what fans got.
Sports talk in Charlottesville will never be the same.
If you haven't torn up the contract, take it, shred it, reinvent it, and do what it takes. The bigger question that I think is on Virginia fans' minds, on community residents' minds, is did the university handle this the right way?
Live, local, dynamic.
I think it definitely was a send a message sort of thing. I think it's a part of trying to get this program back under control a little bit.
I have no problem with paying people what they deserve, but when we're going to win something, football, basketball, baseball.
This is the Best Seat in the House on News Radio 1070 WINA. To be part of the action, call 977-1070 or 1-800-688-9462. Now, Chad Williams.
What do they teach you to talk like this?
Zeidenberg punt, and the Cavs are going to block it. Virginia Zeidenberg got another one. The Cavs all over Feinberg, and Zeidenberg just terrific play in his second block of the year. Handoff, Simpson, Simpson hurdles goal line, touchdown Cavs. Michael, first career touchdown. He follows the right side of the line. Virginia makes it 36-0.
Nothing quite summarizes Duke football like a little Dido on your Monday. I would like to thank you, Duke football, if I'm the Virginia Cavaliers, for giving me the best day of my life. Boy, thank goodness for Duke. Whew, welcome in. You know, it's great to talk to you on this Monday, and it's great that the Cavaliers won a game, and I know that that win was important for them. But that Virginia football win was much more important for the health of our show than it was for the Virginia Cavaliers. We can't continue to sell phone calls and dynamic interactive talk if it's just bad, 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 negative, bad, sour, bad. Because then, as we've talked about, negative becomes indifferent. This show needed a win. And Duke delivered. And so do the Cavaliers on Saturday, by the way, 37-0. Virginia gets win number 2 on the 2006 campaign. The Cavaliers are 2-3. And the road in the state of North Carolina continues this Saturday at 6 o'clock. Virginia and the Fighting Pirates of East Carolina under the tutelage of Skip Holtz and Terry Holland. Welcome in. It's the Monday edition of the Best Seat in the House. We are 6 to 7 o'clock. We take you right to 7 o'clock. That's when Cavalier Call-In kicks in with Mac McDonald and Al Groh and phone calls there. But we're doing phone calls aplenty in this hour. 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. We have a prize package for the best Virginia Duke call tonight. It includes two tickets to the Charlottesville Pavilion showing or concert. Delbert McClinton, not Dexter McLeon, not Dexter Manley, Delbert McClinton in concert. We have two tickets for you and yours Saturday night at the Charlottesville Pavilion, a Wild Wing lunch for two pass, and we have a month subscription to the Saber Edge from the Saber.com. And I might throw in a thick burger.
I might throw in
a jalapeno thick burger if you're lucky, if you come strong, Joey.
There's got to be a jalapeno thick burger in there.
I know. Jed Williams, Joey Mancini, Walker Sir. Freer, Adrian Vigil. How you doing, brother?
Good.
A on that Chinese history paper, huh?
Chinese politics, please.
Sorry, missed it.
It was an intricate eight-page paper.
I can't remember the name of the class. You get an A on the paper.
I came, I saw, I dominated.
There you go.
Didn't expect to.
My weekend included a blind date that went well. Hello, Roger Lodge. And tonight, a little Bachelor. The Bachelor is debuting.
What are you
the
doing?
Next season of The Bachelor, Jay James, our intrepid leader here at WINA, is hauling me off to Richmond. One of his friends is in The Bachelor. She's one of the 25 contestants.
No way.
We're having a watching party with one of the contestants at a local eatery in Richmond.
Is she going to spoil for you what happens?
I don't know. I'm just judging by the fact that
she didn't win then, I guess.
If he's not on her arm, then she didn't win, I guess, right? Or can they not give that away? And Jay's proud of this. Look at him out. Can we cue up the... Hi, I'm Jay. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jay James, program director at WINA.
And I, too, am an eligible bachelor. Okay, welcome in. We have a lot to get to. The question we asked tonight, and then we're going to dive into all kinds of observations, but this is going to be sort of the headline for segment one and segment two. Jeff White is on the way in a little while with a Monday evening quarterback from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Cavalier fans, you watched that game on Saturday. Maybe you were one of the 123 people that went down to Wallace Wade Stadium for that game. Perhaps you listened on the radio. Some combination thereof. What, if anything, did you learn about these Cavaliers in victory that maybe you didn't know about them in defeat? In other words, how much progress was made? How much realistic progress and improvement was made in your eyes by the Cavaliers, whether it was tangibly in terms of execution, in terms of production, things like that, or maybe it was intangibly, morale, attitude, just kind of winning spirit, banding together in times of adversity. How much did you learn, or did you learn anything about the Cavaliers in a win over Duke 37-0? Or are you more inclined, like I'll tell you I am, to withhold and reserve all judgment and any rash conclusions until after this Saturday at 6 o'clock when they go to East Carolina? I don't think East Carolina is going to be a tell-all game. They're good. They're not West Virginia, even though they played with West Virginia. I think we'll probably just learn more cumulatively in the next four-game stretch. At ECU, and then sizing the Cavaliers up against three teams that are very much their equivalent in the standings right now in this very bummed-out, beleaguered ACC year. We'll learn a lot, I think, about the Cavaliers and exactly how they size up and whether or not they can be a contender for a bowl game with how the ECU, Maryland, North Carolina, NC State stretch goes heading through the rest of October and into November. That's just my thought. I'll break this down in a minute. That's my thought. Maybe some of you out there watched on Saturday and said, well, this is progress. This is substantial progress. Tell us why you think that. 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. Remember, best Virginia football call tonight, pair of tickets, Delbert McClinton concert Saturday night, the Wild Wing lunch, the jalapeno thick burger, and the one-month subscription to the Saber Edge from thesaber.com. We did have a winner in the Guess the Score on Friday, by the way, because the opinions were all over the spectrum, so we had to have one. It was Art, who came correct. He said 31-7. So he was right there.
I was amazed.
What I liked about Art was he didn't even bother with the salutations. Hey, Art, what's going on? It wasn't like, hey, Jed, good show, man. Hey, Art, what's going on? I think they're going to do this and this and this. Bam. Hit him right in the mouth. 977-1070. What did I learn other than nothing or other than Duke is dismal? There are a lot of things. I did learn some things. First of all, I guess I sort of relearned something. I had a reaffirmation of what we've talked about.
Defense?
What Virginia's winning formula is going to be.
Right.
Now, I don't think that a supremely winning team can have this winning formula consistently, but with these Cavaliers, until further notice, it is what it is. And this is their formula. Their formula is disruptive defense, dynamic special teams, and don't screw it up offense. And that's exactly what happened the other day. The offensive touchdown drives were 1, 8, 15, 27, and 46 yards. It's darn near impossible to screw that up when it's put on the silver platter like that. Who put it on the silver platter?
I guess so.
More than anybody else. Well, hey, take your turn if you disagree. But more than anything else, disruptive defense set that up for the Cavalier offense to not screw it up. And by the way, the Cavalier offense didn't screw it up. They were 4-4 in the red zone. They only had one turnover. They had some penalties, which we'll get to, but nothing too debilitating. There were some breakdowns, but it's hard to screw up five touchdown drives that account for a total of 97 yards. That's 19.4 yards per scoring drive. That's pretty darn easy. Thank you, defense. Thank you, Josh Zeidenberg. That's what it comes back to. 977-1070, get in there. Virginia football, what did you learn? How much progress realistically was made in 37 to Zippo? 977-1070. Or an email, jed@wina.com. Gordon on line one. Hey, Gordon.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing, man? Good to talk to you.
Well, I didn't really learn a whole lot other than I think this was a good practice against a practice team. It was good for morale. I think you could tell that there was a little bit more intensity. But you're not talking about playing a regular ACC power. You're talking about playing a decent practice team, but not a real contender.
In that sense, Gordon, is Duke a well-timed game, or is Duke always a poorly timed game? Because as good as it makes you feel about yourself, in the end, it's not a very accurate litmus test.
It isn't, but it's good to get Sewell some snaps. And I think the more experience you can get, even though it's not against good competition, like I said, I think it's a good practice, and it was like a good practice before a game. And I think he needs all the snaps he can get, and I think that was important in that sense.
And ECU becomes a real game this Saturday. I think you would agree that this offense, because it's so young and has so many flaws right now, it's never going to make that quantum leap. So for this offense, it may not be about big plays. It might be about limiting catastrophic mistakes. And I thought the offense did a better job, Gordon, on Saturday. Even though Sewell got killed a few times with lack of pass protection, the offense did not completely set back the rest of the team.
That's true, and to be honest with you, I thought the defense added a little emotional fuel to what the offense was doing. Even though it wasn't an outstanding performance, I think the defensive performance, even though it was against, like I said, a practice team,
yeah,
I think that fueled the offense a little bit, and like you said, made them at least execute without making any major mistakes.
Yeah, good stuff, Gordon. Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you. Gordon on one, he'll get the ball rolling, and you guys can follow up FOPS 977-1070.
Well, and King, on what Gordon said, I think offensive and defensively, and a lot of points during the game, Mike London, the defensive coordinator, was not only inspiring the defense, but also the offense. Did you catch when London...
So how about when Snelling runs down the sideline and London's batting him upside the head?
Jumping up and down. A lot of that energy. I mean, I felt like the guy was just a bubble of energy and otherwise just decrepit.
And they need that.
Just boring kind of play.
Because more times
than
not...
they really needed that.
What was the word that emanated from the loss to Western Michigan and the close win over Wyoming? That was an emotionless building.
Mm-hmm.
There was no emotion in the field, mm-hmm. No emotions in the stands, no emotion in the atmosphere. Mike London's a guy that can jumpstart that. The winning formula, I said... Maybe it's a little overdrawn here, a little overly dramatic. I said this Virginia defense will need to force 4 to 5 turnovers every game the rest of the year and turn 2 of them directly into touchdowns, and they'll need something dynamic every single week from special teams. Now, kids, it ain't going to happen every single week because you ain't playing Duke every single week, and Duke will hand this stuff to you like a Christmas present. ECU will not. Certainly the Florida States and Virginia Techs and Miamis will not. But it was like Virginia bought my prescription at the pharmacy to a T. 5 turnovers forced, a defensive touchdown, a dynamic punt block, a good punt return by Mike Brown when he wasn't trying to go all Derek Jeter short hop on the ball. That was ugly. But overall, the defense went from solid, good down in and down out against the run and getting stops to being a total disruptive juggernaut. And Joey, that's the transition they have to make with a sputtering offense. Being solid, forcing stops is not enough. They must be disruptive. And Jeffrey Fitzgerald and Marcus Hamilton and Clint Sentum and Chris Long were disruptive the other night.
And for me, given I had this team pegged at 5-7, and I'll stick with that, there were encouraging things during this game. Number one, just like Redskins, Texans, I mean, you got to get a win at some point. You need an encouraging offensive performance. You need to get a win at some point.
But it was free fall if it didn't happen. The biggest improvement, morale.
Oh, yeah.
Attitude.
Number two, you know, Jameel Sewell starts off actually hitting guys in the numbers as opposed to, you know, skipping it 5 yards.
I agree.
He looked a whole lot more comfortable.
Right off the top.
Right.
Now, I wish they'd gone back to more of that stuff, though. It seemed like they used the pass to set up the run, and then I thought, okay,
pounded it.
Then used the run to set the pass back up, but they didn't go back to that quick out stuff that was working early on. It was more like wide receiver screen and things like that.
Wide receiver screens are so frustrating.
They're
futile
right now.
Unless you're Santana Moss. Unless you have a Santana Moss on the field. It's just not happening.
I've got my whole Curious George face. Yeah. Who's the last Santana Moss in the Virginia program? I did like Snelling's running ability. Mikel Simpson looked very good off the Cavalier bench.
Yeah.
And
no,
you know what?
He looked very, very good.
Duke had only been allowing 88 yards rushing a game. Virginia Tech and Brandon Orr struggled against them. Wake Forest barely beat them, and Wake traditionally has one of the best rushing attacks and the most difficult rushing attacks to figure out in the country year in and year out. And they really struggled against Duke. I was pleased to see Virginia run that way. You see 105 yards and you go, eh. Virginia had 161 gross yards. Take away the sacks and it's a different story. The thing that concerns me about the running game, though, is they can only run to one side of the field. They can't run up the middle and they can't run right.
It's all left.
It's all
the same play. It was a counter left.
Stretch, counter left. Eugene Monroe and Brandon Albert. Now, there is a piece of good news out of that bad news, and that is, Eugene Monroe arrived the other day. Maybe we saw he won the starting job back, clearly, and maybe we've seen sort of the emergence now of Eugene Monroe and Brandon Albert in combination on the left side. Now, if they can just balance it out a little bit on the right side, now you've got a running game where the defense has to slide and shift, because good teams and smart John Tenuta-like defensive coordinators are going to see that tape and just gun for you.
Well, I think Ian Yates Cunningham looked good at times as a pulling right guard on the left side.
Now it's, can you power the other side,
right,
though,
exactly,
and pull Albert the other way?
Which is where he needs to improve.
Exactly. Link on line one, good buddy of the show. How you doing, Link?
Hey, evening.
Good, man. What's up?
A couple things from the game. I thought our offense got that many more reps, gained a little bit more confidence. I think the defense did the same thing, although from a confidence standpoint and a result standpoint, I think they're a little bit ahead of the offense still.
Yeah, indeed.
Special teams, certainly no real glowing mistakes, a lot of positive things there. One positive that I'd comment on is it was a road game, even though it was against Duke, mm-hmm. and it's a whole lot harder to get up and get ready for those than for a home game. So I think that's a positive. Let me talk about that running right that you said.
Please do, yeah.
I kind of agree with you, but if we look at the big picture, that running right, run right, run right, all of a sudden, if you remember the play, we did that counter and we threw to the tight end.
The play action bootleg.
That's right, and everything was set up right, and we went back left, and there was nobody even in the picture. So that running right, in that case, it wasn't all a bad thing because it helped us set up a play later, further down the road.
So even if you're not running to the other side constantly, you can set up some things to that side of the field.
And that worked perfectly. You know, whether that was by design or they just saw something from the press box, I don't know. I'm not a coach, but it seemed to me
point.
That it one seemed to really help set up the other one.
You know, the other thing I like, Link, you talked about road environment. Duke's a little different road environment. It's not like winning in Death Valley or winning in Tallahassee. You have to create your own emotion at Duke. You go to Tallahassee and that flaming spear gives you all the emotion you need. You go to Duke, you have to scrounge up your own emotion. And this is a team that had been emotionless and found its own internal motivation away from home. I thought that was a good thing.
Well, it's like winning at Durham High School. And the second thing is you have to be almost be a cross-country team to get from their locker room to their field.
Oh,
it's not a real convenient trip. But anyway,
yeah,
are some positives.
It would take Steve Prefontaine to get there quickly, I think.
Well, not quite that bad.
Yeah, thanks,
hey,
buddy.
Let me have one other comment
quickly. Jump
if I could.
Yeah,
for all,
yeah.
all the bandwagon jumpers, you know I'll never be a – I'll always support that team.
No.
I may not always agree with all the decisions that are made, but for all the guys that have jumped off the bandwagon recently, get us now while you can, because that team's going to be awfully good in the future.
Yep, give them time. Yeah, absolutely. If you want to snipe now and take cheap shots, fine, but what goes around comes around.
That's right.
Thanks, buddy. Good to hear from you. Link on line one. That's a really good phone call.
Point.
And his point about the play action, the misdirection, the bootleg is well taken. Maybe you won't be able to power off tackle to the other side all year with Barker and Cunningham, but with Albert and Monroe and Snelling as a powerful combination on one side, it sets up some things that use Sewell's athleticism on the other end. And maybe that diversifies Virginia's offense a little bit. We're going to break. We're taking your phone calls in the second segment as well. Remember, those tickets on the line, the Wild Wing lunch, the Saber Edge subscription, all that good stuff for the best Virginia call tonight. Monday, best seat, 977-1070. 977-1070. On the way, the officials wake up and some Doc Walkerisms.